What's up, everybody? How's it going? Welcome to Café LeBlanc Podcast. This is Let's Talk Mega 10 episode David from DavidCast RPGs. How are you doing today?
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for having me on again. It's been a while. I'm glad to be here. I'm doing great.
It's been a while. I was looking at the thing. It's been like June, July since the last time we had each other on the channel and everything. So always good to have you here.
And always good to be here, man.
Yeah, I mean, how you been, man? It's been a minute.
Yeah, I'm good. Pretty busy right now. Real life stuff, YouTube stuff, combination of both. But great overall. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm like in the same spot too. Like I got a new job like a few months ago. Actually, around the time when we kind of I haven't had a big podcast in a minute. Of course, I'm doing this podcast series just a little bit smaller. But you know, I used to have like my 3-hour, 4-hour podcast, and I'm like, I can't do that because of my job, and I'm like, I'm tired and everything.
Of course. So, like these good podcasts, old 4 hours episodes.
right. These like smaller podcasts just work for me much better right now. But yeah, it's been good. It's been good. You know, channel growing, and obviously Shin Megami Tensei and the hype for the game is just coming every day. I'm like, oh shit, we're so close. And everything, so yes, yeah, sir. just going on that hype, man. Just focusing on the channel and everything. But awesome. Yeah, so as far as your channel goes, it's gone through a big jump this year. The last few months have been pretty big for you, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I've been doing pretty great on the channel. I'm extremely happy with where I'm at. The streams are doing great. The videos are doing great. I'm starting to get like, well, you are. I know you are as well. But we're starting to like have contacts with publishers and stuff, and it's really cool. I'm glad to see the growth. We're obviously both of us. We're doing it because it's our passion. We like to talk about the games and stuff. But it's great to see success too. So
yeah,
it's really
awesome. Of course, yeah. It's always good to like see your hard work kind of be rewarded. You know,
exactly.
This is just beyond like views and numbers and everything. It's just like a nice like, dude. Like I'm doing good with my channel. It feels like I'm doing good, that kind of stuff. So yeah, dude. I've been seeing your channel, and this is one of those things. Like I don't know some of the people that watch your videos or my videos know, but I've known you since like the very beginning of your channel.
Oh, 100%. Oh yeah.
I think you had like it must have been like 20 subscribers when I met you.
I think so. Because when I started to make content, I started with Persona because I thought that would be like a great place to try and find people in the community, since it's not as niche as like mainline. Feels weird to say that, but it isn't anymore. Mm-hmm. So I started that way, and I remember stumbling upon your content pretty quickly. So I reached out to you, and you were like super nice to me right at the start. I remember you like helping with, you even made like an end screen for me at first and stuff. And you're definitely the first person that I've interacted with in the Megaton community. So yeah, I'll always be grateful for that, man.
No, of course, yeah. I remember I saw you and I was like, oh, dude, I you know, like when we started talking, I was like, I really want to do like a podcast, because I didn't have a podcast. And you, Spencer, and I don't remember who else. You guys were like my first guest in my very first podcast. So like that was like a big deal for me, because like I never interacted with anybody in the community. I just, not because I didn't want to, more like I felt like it was a pretty small channel and everything. So I was like, I mean, I don't know. Like I didn't have a lot of subscribers. I think I must have had like 300, 400, maybe 500 subscribers. So I wasn't like super big. I mean, I'm still not super big, but I was like, oh, dude, like I want to get more, you know, talking to other channels and getting to know more people and everything. So.
I remember we chatted about that. We did great with like talking together and helping each other, and we were like, hey, we should probably talk with other people in the community. Right, and that's where it started. So it was great.
It's been good. Like the community has been growing so much. I see so many like new upcoming content creators like in the the other day when I think somebody posted kind of like a ranking of the content creators, and I was like, holy crap, there's so many of them. Like it wasn't even like, oh, I don't really care about the ranking or everything.
Me neither.
But the fact that I realized there is so many people doing now like the Persona or like the Shin Megami Tensei content and everything. So that's cool. I always welcome more people in the community, like what they do and everything, because it's always different. Like, I think everybody has their own take and everything.
Absolutely.
So there's like a different, like, it's a big community too. I think the community has been grown like so much from, I think especially since like Persona 5 Royal or Persona 5, like that Joker to Smash up to like Royal and everything. It's just been like continuously growing. So it's been going at a good pace and everything. But you as a content creator, what inspired you to like start doing videos? Like, what was in your mind?
Well, I always wanted to make videos. I always had like that creative side of me, wanted to do videos, like editing videos. I'm sure you did too at some point, use Windows Movie Maker.
Right, yeah. Back in the
day. So when I was like super young, I was like doing like some very interesting videos per se, but I never had like this passion and this thing that I really wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And it feels weird, but the pandemic made me start that. This is where I started. Like, I started in March of 2020, and I had Persona, I had Megaton. That was the big thing for me at that point, still is obviously. And I was like, okay, here it is, I'm starting a channel. And since I had some free time and stuff, it really worked, and I'm super grateful for that.
Right Yeah, I think I started actually a little bit before the pandemic had started. But yeah, same here, you know, I always wanted to like do a channel and everything. In fact, I had a channel with two of my other friends, but because we were like we're all in college at the time, so we really didn't have the time to like do content, you know. So like it'd be like every few months where we will have like time to like do a video or something like that. So I was like, I was hanging out with a friend, and I was like, I really want to do a YouTube channel where I just kind of discuss and talk about stuff. And I mean, it's always interesting to see, like, I think the people that do YouTube at some point thought about it, you know, like, it's in your back of your head, like, it'd be cool to do YouTube, you know?
Exactly. And I remember hearing other creators too at one point saying like, oh, it's different when you start like creating content for gaming, because you're always thinking about videos, and if you play a certain game, it's for your channel and all. But that's not what I'm doing. Like, if I decide to play a game, if I decide to cover a certain game, it's a game that I will talk about on my channel. Like, the games that I'm spending the most time on are the Yakuza games, and I cannot talk about the Yakuza games on my channel. So I play what I like, and it's just, it's just great. And if you're thinking about getting into content creation, you're listening to this podcast, just go ahead and go for it. Just jump in. Honestly, every time that someone reaches out to me for like tips and whether or not they should start, I'm always like, hey, go for it. Worst case scenario, you're not going to enjoy it enough, and you're going to drop it. But you may as well just find a new passion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think a lot of people are just afraid of like, oh, you know, what if I don't do good? Or what if, you know, like, just go for it. You know, if it doesn't good and you get 10 views, that's okay, it's fine. Another thing that a lot of people don't realize is when you start, you really don't get a lot of views. Like, that's like one thing. I know, like, I've seen channels that have like one or two videos and they do extremely well. But fact of the matter is, it does take some time for the channel to kind of start kicking in and start getting views and everything. And, it's fine. Like, it's just fun. I think if you like to do content, if you like to do stuff, check it out. Try to like to put your own spin on things and everything.
Absolutely.
Always like keep the for fun aspect. I think a lot of people are like, oh, you know, like, I want to do it as a job or something like that. And that's great.
God.
Like, that's great if you want to do it for just a job. But no, like, there's a slow burn. It's a very slow burn.
What I always say is, to people who say that, I'm like, hey, if you want to start, just do it for fun, do it for the passion of it. And then if it becomes a job, if it becomes a full-time job at some point, great. But if you jump in with the objective of it being a full-time job, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You have to like jump in with the passion, and then if it becomes a work, great. That's how I see it.
Yeah, 100%. I totally I agree with that. It's just a matter of things like, give it a try. You know, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, if you are into that kind of stuff, give it a try. It doesn't hurt you any. You know, it's just part of thing. Especially if you're like much on the younger side of things, because you and I are much older. I think a lot of people in the community. But it's any age. I've seen younger people do pretty good. I've seen some older people. So just giving it a chance is always fun, I think. And the community has been really good. I know it's always like talk about like the toxicity on the community and everything. But honestly, as a whole, you know, there's always like a crazy or two that you're going to get a comment for and everything. But as a whole, the community hasn't like been horrible or anything like that. And I know it might be like a crazy thing to say, but like I really haven't had any like people that are like super crazy or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get where you're coming from, dude. 100%. It's like there's that minority of people in our community which is like extremely awful, but that's the minority. Like I started like as you know, and I had nothing. And when I made my first like collaboration video, that video where I got like a lot of other content creators, everyone was replying to me. Everyone was friendly to me. And it's just such a great community. And whenever I see someone new who like tries to message me and talk with me about stuff, I always welcome them with open arms. I'm like, dude, jump in.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, just give it a chance. Just I think some people are afraid of the community or they get afraid about it, but nothing at all. It's great. I've been fairly happy with the community and everything. So
yes, for me as well, man.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just so great.
So any big plans going on in your channel? Anything you're looking forward to?
I think the big thing is, and well, it's not a plan. It's a wish, I would say. the big wish is obviously the Shin Megami Tensei 5 review copy. I don't know if that's going to be possible, but I swear to God, I'm going to cry if I get one. So that's like the big thing, the big upcoming thing in the near future. That if that happens, dude, I'm gonna really freak out. But in terms of like what's going on right now, yes, I do have a couple of projects going on right now. Lots of cool stuff going on. I know there's one thing in particular that we both have going on right now that we can't talk about. But we have multiple things and big plans are coming. I'm hoping to like start doing some big changes maybe in 2022, but I'm still working on those things. So I'm not ready to unveil anything yet, but a lot of things are going on in the background. It's great. It's exciting.
It's exciting. Definitely. Yeah. I think same here. You know, like I used to do more content for other video games, but I went the other way around, you know, instead of focusing on other games, now I'm just focusing on Mega 10 and Persona and everything, you know, just to kind of have a focus onto what I'm doing and everything in the channel. Because I used to cover every game, you know, whatever game used to come out or whatever.
I remember.
And everything. And I was like, you know what, that's just too much. I'm just going to need to narrow it down to some games and everything. That way I can take my time, you know, with some games. Because sometimes like a game comes out and I'm like, oh man, I need to do a review for it or whatever. And sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, like trying to balance multiple games and everything like that. So, but yeah, definitely. Although I am still very open to a lot of JRPGs that are close on that Persona or Shin Megami Tensei type of games.
Which is, I think we do the same thing in that regard, more or less.
You know, like Monarch, for example, that was announced earlier for next year. And,
Monarch.
You know, you look at that game, you're like, oh, you know, like that's gonna be a cool game to talk about because it's made by people that made Shin Megami Tensei. It has some kind of connection to the Megaton universe, and you're kind of like, you're interested in that, and you're like, I think your audience will be interested in it, right? So that's what I think about sometimes when I do stuff like that. I'm like, you know, stuff like that, I think, is still kind of worth it or whatever. Like, I was thinking, I'm like, man, I would like to do some Catherine videos, for example, because I've been thinking about that game in a minute, and I was like, you know, like, that's Alice, you know, that's fair game, right? So I'm like, sometimes I look for excuses so I can, like, work on be just a little bit outside of that kind of stuff, but nothing crazy or anything like that.
Yeah, let me ask you one thing real quick though, while we're on the subject. Maybe you may not have the answer yet, but at a certain point with your channel, are you thinking about maybe branching out a little bit with the main channel? I know you have multiple channel, obviously, yeah. But mm-hmm. With the main channel at one point, do you think you may branch out at some point?
Honestly, it just depends to where it goes. It just depends mm-hmm. where, like, you have to be the perfect storm where, like, the franchise of, like, Atlus or, you know, whether it's Persona or SMT as a whole, like, if it branches off in, like, other kind of genres or something like that, which I don't see it happening or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you can do, if it branches off in, like, more interest, for example, like Persona 5 Strikers, right? It's like it's closer yeah. to like the Warriors games or whatever. So like, I feel like there'll be like a good kind of excuse to explore other Warriors games or something like that. But not at the moment. I don't see myself branching off in this particular channel unless it just grows more. Because I think it's just fairly small channel right now. So my audience is still mm-hmm. fairly small. So I'm like, I don't know. It just depends of like. Whether your audience is gonna be there for that kind of content, you know, because I did wonder myself about it sometimes. I'm like, am I spreading out myself too big, or you know, what kind of videos? Because I did think about it for a minute as far as like, well, the majority of my subscribers are here because of Persona or Shin Megami Tensei, right?
So exactly.
Do they want to hear me talk about Call of Duty? You know,
absolutely. Like, that's the thing. That's hard because you're like, okay, I kind of want to branch out. And the big thing for me was RGG games, Yakuza Judgment. I was like, okay, I want to branch out and talk about those games because I'm passionate about them. But then I look at like mainline SMT, I look at Persona, and I'm like, that's so different. That's tough. It's really tough. I'm like, it's going to be. I don't want to have two audiences in my subscribers. I don't want like half of my subscribers to be here for Yakuza, mm-hmm. and the other half for Megaton. So if I do branch out at one point, I think it's going to be with something that I can bring my people in with the new stuff.
Right.
If that makes sense. Yeah. No. 100%. That's not hard. That's not easy to do. So that's why I'm still doing my thing. That's why you still are doing your thing.
I think. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, my channel. I feel like it's just gonna stay there, and it's like it's also like different of names. You know, your name is David Kaz JRPGs. So you have mm-hmm. the podcast aspect, but you also have the JRPG aspect. So like, I feel like if you were to decide to do more JRPG things. Maybe because of your name, people will be more like inclined to be like, okay, so you know he's gonna talk about all of JRPGs. Mm-hmm. That kind of makes sense, right? My channel's name is the Minute Channel.
Yeah.
So like
that's Persona.
So like that Persona, like that's gonna very much stick there, right? So mm-hmm. I don't know. That's how I feel about it. Like it's fine. Like I still, if I feel like I really need to make a video of something not, you know, Persona related or something like that. I'll do it anyway. Like sometimes I'm like, oh man, I should just post it anyway. But sometimes I'm like, but do people really care about it or not? That's what I think about it too. Because if it's not worth anybody's time, then I don't see why I'd put it out, you know, in the channel or something. So you know, so I also want to make people worth their time that they are watching a certain video or something.
Mm-hmm. And that's also why we have like, well, I know you're like super dedicated, like a little bit more than me, I would say, because that's why sometimes what I'm getting at with this is sometimes I don't really have content for a certain week, like this, was it this, no, last week I had nothing, like my last video was this week I had nothing, so last week was my last video was the 29th. Mm-hmm. So it's been pretty slow, and that was like the reveal trailer for the English cast, my reaction.
Right,
and before that, it was the 24th. So I didn't have an original video for like a lot of days.
Yeah, and it's fine. I think it's also fine because if you think about it, and that's like my logic sometimes, like that's why I avoided a lot of the coverage for like SMT recently. Because it mm-hmm. was like we had TGS, we had a bunch of like little stuff and everything that came up, like the screenshots and the Famitsu article and all that stuff. And I'm like, I don't like, it's cool. I love it, doing the content and everything, but I also don't want to saturate everybody, you know, like everybody's timeline with like the same kind of videos, because you know, like as much as you're doing that same reaction video to the next trailer, there's also like 20 other content creators also doing a reaction video to the same trailer or whatever, right? So like, I feel like there's only so much original content you can provide with something like a reaction video or like a news video or something like that. Although they are really informative, and I'm sure a lot of your subscribers follow you for news. Sometimes
I'm like, dude, 100%. Because whenever I do like original stuff, original content, like a discussion video and stuff, they're doing well. They're still doing well. But my big numbers, you know how YouTube says you're like top 10 performing videos? They're all news episodes.
They are news, like, exactly. So like, people subscribe to your channel, like, yeah, I'm looking for news from David. You know, that's what I want to see from him or whatever. Or they want to see your reaction on whatever's new going on, right? So like, there's only so much of that you can do, because sometimes there's nothing. You know, like sometimes it's like, okay, you know, there's nothing going on right now. Or sometimes it's the same thing for a few days. Like with TGS, for example, there was the trailer video, right? The trailer. There was the gameplay, right? But like a few days before that, they showcased the same gameplay on like IGN or something like that. So like, you're like, okay, well, I could talk about the same thing that I just talked about 2 days ago, or I could just not talk about it at all. Yeah. You know, like there's only so much of the news you can get, and sometimes it's just nothing going on, like I said. So like today, today I had like no topic, you know, like I had no news or anything like that. So I'm like, well, what's next for Shin Megami Tensei 5? Like as of Shin Megami Tensei 5, I was like, that's the next topic, I'm gonna talk about it. So that was my video today. I was just kind of like, you know, I don't know what's gonna happen after the Tensei 5. But I was curious to see like what other people want to see. And fun fact, a lot of people want to see Devil Survivor 3. They're like, that's like the one comment that I kept getting over and over again. It's just people, Devil Survivor 3. I was like, dude, there's a lot of people that want Devil Survivor 3. And don't get me wrong, I want it too. It's like, I love the game, but I was crazy to see like all the comments just saying Devil Survivor 3.
I do see that pretty often. I'm glad you brought this up, because yeah, I do see that often too. The next big thing for us, depending on if Atlus starts doing something with the 25th or not, but if they don't, I think the next big thing is probably ReFantasy for us. I think that's going to be big, because that's going to be different. I'm excited.
I'm hoping to be able to branch out from that game, to maybe, because honestly, this game is gonna be a game changer for us. And I know a lot of people don't see it that way, but I personally see it as this game is gonna be a good way for Atlus to get more into the mainstream, like Western RPG type, because let's be honest here. A lot of people not into the anime, high schooler setting kind of thing, like in Persona or anything like that. I know a lot of people that are interested in Persona, but they look at the characters, they're like, I really don't want to play a high schooler in like Japan or something like that. But you look at like fantasy setting, it's like so much easier to like get into. So like, I'm really excited to see what they're gonna do with that. You know, like, how is that gonna look and everything? Although the fantasy market is extremely saturated with games, there's just so many fantasy JRPGs. But I'm really confident
that they're gonna do.
So it's a good thing. It's a double-edged sword, really, right? So in aspect, ReFantasy is gonna sit at a weird spot, because one, everybody fucking loves Persona 5. So, like, it needs to be as good as Persona 5 or in that same direction, right? But on the other hand, it's a fantasy setting. So, like, they gotta do something with a fantasy setting that is different from what is out there. Because there's so much out there. Like, and not like Final Fantasy per se, because Final Fantasy is fantasy, but it's like its own take on fantasy or whatever. But you look at things like the Nier games, for example.
Yeah.
Or, like, the Tales of the new one that just came out. And then you look at the Dragon Quest series, you look at, I mean, like, there's so many fantasy games out there, and they all do their own little thing, you know. Like, I mean, look at every the average MMO looking thing. It's a fantasy MMO, right? Like most of them are like, so like it's such a saturated market. So like they have to do something to captivate the audience and to make, of course, the Western audience also like be like, oh, you know, like this is gonna be the next big thing. And I think that's where like a lot of people are like watching out for them. Like, what's that gonna be like? You know, like I think there's a good chance that this is gonna be a good project, but it could also flop if it's not marketed correctly. Because that's my biggest regret with 13 Sentinels.
I was about to bring that up.
Yeah, see, it was so badly marketed that, in fact, I remember whenever it first came out. No, when it was announced, the first English announcement that we got here in the West was a character trailer. And in my mind, like, why will anybody care about a character trailer when they don't know the characters? Dude. They don't know the game.
That was so bad. I remember that like it was yesterday. That was really rough. Yeah, oh my God.
It was such a bad way to introduce the series. Because sure, it's an interesting concept, right? 13 characters, 13 stories. And that's great. But there's a lot to 13 Sentinels that they could have marketed to the West. The whole time in timelines and time traveler and that kind of stuff. There's there's like so many different ways that I could have been like, man, this game could have done better if it was just marketed correctly. Because I think there is a big there's an audience for that kind of game, because there aren't a lot of type of games like this one. In fact, I can think of a lot of games that are like that. But because it was marketed in such a like weeb way, like, oh look, there was this one comment that I saw. It was a girl. They even say it on the.
Oh my god! I know. I know.
High school girl with a robot.
With a robot. Like yes. Yes.
And I was like, there is no.
That
way.
Was rough.
Yeah,
that
was rough. I was like, in my mind, I was like, there's just no way they said that line in Japanese audio. Like she had to say something else. But it's just.
Oh, that was so cringe. Yes. Oh my god.
You know exactly what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I know what you're talking about. It's like it's kind of the main girl.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes, that's in the end scene too. Like.
Yeah. Right. That's the storyline at the very end.
I'm a girl, but I'm also a girl with a robot. Like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah. Right. Oh man, I was dying of embarrassment. I was literally having secondhand embarrassment when I saw that. I was like, there's just no way. Like, they thought that this was a good line for like.
Right. And do you think that's what I wanted to ask in regards to 13 Sentinels. Do you think we may get certain issues with covering the game once they start showing trailers and stuff? I don't know about you, but whenever I talked about 13 Sentinels, it was an insta flop.
Yeah,
there was 100%. No interest. So I wonder if it's gonna be the same thing with
In fact, I tried to re-fantasize. I tried to make a video about it like a few months ago. And I posted it. I was like, not even and it got 113 views.
Oof.
Yeah, like it just completely flopped. But no, like I think it all depends on how Atlus approaches this. If they really heavily, because I'm Shin Megami Tensei may not need Persona kind of like a crutch for like for marketing purposes or anything like that. But sure as hell, this game is gonna need it because this is a brand new game, right? So like, if they use Persona as a crutch or something like that, it may do better than the 13 Sentinels. It just again, it just depends on how they approach the marketing, and who knows, because we've seen zero about this game. So I mean, the only thing that we've seen is concept art. So to me, I'm like, I don't know. It depends. It depends how they're gonna approach it.
There's potential, but we'll have to wait and see. But at the same time, it's not VanillaWare. It's Studio Zero, and that's like the name's there.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I mean, the name, not really, but the devs that are working at Studio Zero. Yeah. They have like the brand recognition is there. That's what I meant.
Yeah, exactly. The brand recognition, and it's just not like 10 years ago when Catherine came out. You know, because when Catherine came out, Persona didn't have the same name. You know, like, so,
definitely
although,
not.
I don't know, man, that's where the community goes kind of crazy sometimes on Twitter. They, like, I remember when Catherine was being marketed, and the comments were just killing. It was like, I don't care, just give me Persona 5 on Switch, or whatever. It was like,
yeah.
So I'm like, oh man.
That's unfortunately not going anywhere too.
Yeah,
that's
the thing. Yeah, exactly. That's the whole thing. That's not going anywhere. So I'm like, it depends on when they decide to announce the game and how they market it. But I think it has a lot of potential. I personally think...
I think so, yeah.
That's one of the games that it could easily go in the correct direction if they do it. It got a lot of attention too from from other developers. I remember seeing an interview. Oh no, it was like a small short with Yoko Taro from the Nier games, mm-hmm. and yeah. His reaction already was like, "Oh, they wanted me to like promote it, but please don't do fantasy because that's the genre he does, right?" So I was like,
"I didn't even know that. That's pretty cool."
yeah. So they approached him to kind of get an opinion on like Atlus doing a fantasy game, and he was like, yeah, they asked me for my opinion, but don't take that. And he even has a chart of like where most JRPGs go, and this is literally what I was talking about. We like Dragon Quest, and he does more of the pseudo realistic fantasy where there is still a fantasy setting, but he does focus more on like the emotional aspect of the stories and everything, which is kind of in a way mm-hmm. kind of like what Persona does, in which it does focus a lot on like emotions and feelings and everything, but it's in a realistic setting. So he was saying mm-hmm. if Atlus ends up doing a fantasy game, it's probably gonna look closer to a Nier game because it's gonna be like an emotional character character driven game in right. a fantasy setting, which is what he does with the Nier games. So mm-hmm. So that was his take on it. Like it's probably gonna like get into what I do over here. So that was an interesting like reaction, I guess, to what he's saying.
But it's a fair one too.
Yeah, it's a fair one. It does make sense. I see a way his reaction makes a lot of sense. But I'd be interested. I'll be curious to see how they approach it and everything. There's a lot of potential for that game, I think.
I think so too.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, right. But then I'm curious because there is a rumored game being worked by what was it called? The dude that worked on the Devil's Survivor games.
Oh.
Did you hear mean about
the artist?
No. I think the director.
Oh boy, I don't know, man. I'm not too sure.
Oh yeah. So there is a game that he's working on, and I think he also worked on TMS, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Oh, I don't remember the name, but yes, I'm referring to. There was an interview with him recently.
Right. Okay. So like he's talking about like his own project or whatever he's doing, and tell people that's why a lot of people are like, oh, it's gonna be Devil Survivor 3, or somebody, I've seen some people even saying like, oh, it's gonna be TMS 2 or something, and I'm like,
nah.
I don't know if they want to go there again. They know the backlash happened, and this isn't like a, I think a lot of people don't realize, but the backlash wasn't just here in like the West. There was a big backlash in Japan about it too, so like they may not care about our reaction about it, but I'm sure they care about
Japan,
about their Japan's reaction about it. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll be curious to see if they end up doing some other a new game, you know, like a brand new something or you know, like, because there's a
lot, like, of
I think Atlus works best when they new stuff. It's good.
Absolutely.
It's always good to see, like, sure, there's the nice Shin Megami Tensei 5 and Persona mm-hmm. 6 or whatever, but also like there's so many properties that they have that I haven't worked with in years. I know a fan favorite is like the Trauma Center
games, yeah,
or, you know, stuff like that. So like that'd be cool if they just suddenly announced a new Trauma Center game or like something else, you know. So mm-hmm. So like I don't know, there's a lot, they have such a big catalog of games that they haven't worked on, and same thing with Sega. Sega has a ton of properties that they never touched in decades now, or like recently that they went back to the Sakura Award game. So like,
oh my god, don't get me started on Sakura Wars. We're here for 4 hours.
Right.
Oh
right.
Man, dude, they're sleeping on so many IPs.
Exactly,
that's thing.
That's
like,
what I'm going for. Yeah.
Sakura Wars, I get it. They tried to reboot it last year and it flopped. But god.
Yeah. No, I really think that flopped also for the same reasons of 13 Sentinels. I just think that what marketing.
Oh yeah, the marketing was awful. Yeah, but there was issues with the game. I'm a big fan of Sakura Wars. I'm not the biggest fan out there, but it's a series that I hold close to my heart. I really like the games and stuff, and I'm a big fan of the 2020 game, like for real. And it's a missed opportunity. That's the thing. That game is like, it reminds me of, I know you played Caligula 1.
Right. Yeah.
Caligula Effect, the first game. That game, in my opinion, was like, playing it, it was like, oh my god, this game has so much potential, but it's not reaching its full potential. Exactly. Well, Sakura Wars 2020 is the exact same thing. The game is done super well. They're doing everything in a great way. The new combat system is super different, which I'm fine with. It's different, okay. But it's too basic. It's too basic. It feels like they were scared of trying to go in depth with it. And it feels like a missed opportunity. That's why I want them to give that reboot a second chance. So just do a sequel and I'm sure they can do it right. I'm sure.
Yeah. I think sometimes they just, I hate when that happens with a game series where like they really, you see the potential that there is just so much that they could do better. And whenever you play the game and you're like, oh man, this is the potential's there, but it's just not reaching its full potential. It's a little disappointing. I recently played a game that I wasn't thinking of picking up at all, but it was on sale, so I bought it. I don't know if you, I know you've seen the Deadloop, right?
Yep.
That game was horribly marketed as just like generic looking, first person shooter with like superpowers or something, but it's actually really good. Like it's really
tall. That's what I heard. Yeah,
the gameplay and everything, but it also doesn't reach its full potential. It lacks in some aspects, and I'm like, man, games like this like make me sad because I know that they work pretty hard, but either like the time constraint or maybe like the budget that they had or something in
budget,
the process.
Yeah,
it kills it.
Like, let's be honest, Caligula. That's the main issue. They had no budget, and it shows.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude!
It really shows.
It shows terribly. Whenever you see like the engine, for example, which by the way, if you've seen any of the trailers for Caligula 2, it's already a big improvement. And I'm not gonna go in detail about it, but the improvement on the second game on the trailers that we've seen so far look a lot better already. So like that from now on, you see that there's a bigger budget. But no, the first game, like the classrooms are super empty. There's barely any NPCs, and the character models don't look all that good and everything. But the gameplay was interesting. Like I like when developers try to go the extra mile to like make a really interesting gameplay style. I feel the same way about Persona 1 and 2. I don't think the gameplay is totally bad. I just think that it didn't reach its full potential as far as like what it could have been with that gameplay.
Absolutely.
And it's a shame that they jumped from that to back to the. I mean, it's fine because I like the Shin Megami Tensei turn-based style, but I think that it had potential. They just had to work more on it. Which is honestly a different conversation, but now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, that gameplay had potential too. It just needed to be worked through.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I get it, and it's sad to see too, because you wanna with Caligula the first game. Like I know you dropped it while playing. You were like,
yeah,
nah, I'm good.
Yeah,
I played enough, and I remember we talked about it, and I was like, dude, I can't blame you. I really can't. Like, I beat it. I completed it. But I was like, I get where you're coming from. Because it's good, but it's like, I had to kick myself a couple of times to keep going. Because it's really rough. And I think that's what people felt, Sega fans felt with Sakura Wars, the reboot, in a way. And I can't blame them either, so.
No, 100%. I think there is sometimes they have, like, like they're so close to really reaching that potential and everything, and you're like, man, if you could just if you had a little bit more budget or maybe more time or whatever, because sometimes mm-hmm. it's a different thing. You really don't know. Like although we are kind of more into like what's going on behind the scenes a little bit.
Yeah,
we don't have like full access of like the history of what's going on and everything like that.
I wish.
Yeah, like I see games like Monarch, for example, and I'm like, man, that game looks good, but I'm also like, I have like careful. Flashbacks of other games, so I'm like, I
yeah.
be careful, but I'm like worried about it. I'm like, you know what? You know, it could be good. It does have the some interesting ideas, right? But
yeah. Same thing with the Caligula 2. I remember, you know how Spencer. Yeah. He's a big fan of Caligula, the first game.
He's like the biggest fan I know.
Yeah, well, yeah, me too. Yeah. And I remember talking with him when they announced it, and he was like, oh, let's go. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, I'm just not going to wait and see. And it's the exact same right, thing with Monarch.
Right. There's like a little bit of skepticism as far as like, once the first game came out. Yeah, exactly. And 100%. And but then you have the other side of the coin, where like the first game does good and then the second game or like one of the other sequel games is just not as good for some reason. Mm-hmm. The Akiba games. I don't know if you ever play like Akiba Strip or any of those games.
Nah, but I've seen what they are and yeah. I'm good.
Yeah. So that game like also happened something like that where like the first game and second game were kind of good and the last game they released was just trash. Like he has such a bad score on or Metacritic for that same reason, so I don't know. It's interesting. It's always interesting to see like the games and how they do over time and everything. But mm-hmm. I don't think any developer goes making a game just to make it bad.
Oh, definitely cause, not.
Because I know with
a game like Caligula, you're like, okay, the devs were passionate, but it feels like they lack either the budget or the time or both.
Yeah,
I would think. And it shows because the ideas are there. The concept is there and it's just not executed well enough.
Right, right. And like they have an interesting world building aspect to it. But it's a really interesting world. I think the world is a world with a lot of potential. And behind, like if you watch the anime, for example, where there's just no gameplay and no graphics and you just watch the TV show, anime, it's really good. Like the story is interesting, the characters are interesting, mm-hmm. but maybe just the budget wasn't there. Maybe maybe there wasn't enough time to work on that or something. I don't know. I don't know how long some of these games get. And whenever I hear things like whenever I hear some of these things about like the there are some developers like Furio, for example. Whenever they announce a game, I'm like, "Oh man, it looks good," but also like, "Are you gonna have the budget for it?"
Mm-hmm.
There's another one like that too. What is the name of the games? The Trails games.
Oh yeah, the Trails of Cold Steel.
Yeah. What is that? The name of the publisher too.
Oh, that's Falcom.
Yeah, Falcom too, right? Like Falcom is they make good games, like so. Also, like you can tell sometimes, like budget wise, they may not have the biggest or the best budget, especially if you compare it to somebody like Atlus, who also doesn't have like the biggest budgets, but somehow they make their games look really good.
Dude, like I mean, you know how long they take to drop their freaking games?
That's the difference, right? Yeah, because they allow such a big time frame. I mean, and people can say about whatever, but like both Persona 5 and Shin Megami Tensei 5 have really long development cycles. Like, so like, sure, Persona 5 is where it is now, but it took a long time, and he almost took them. And same with, I think SMT4 also had a long development, and they almost went broke because of the game too.
Mm-hmm.
So like I mean that kind of stuff.
That's crazy when you think about it.
Yeah. But I mean that's Atlus trying to gamble, and they gambled a lot because I think SMT3 also had troubled cycles as well with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean that's just them. But I realized why some other companies might not want to do that. I mean,
definitely. Plus they're getting a lot of crap from their fans from us because of that.
Like, oh come on. Give me Persona 6. Oh God! A flashback to the 25th anniversary of. I want to clear that up for people that think. I particularly wasn't thinking. Oh man, we are gonna get that that Persona 6 anniversary, because I think some people. I did a video talking about like my disappointment on like the 25th anniversary. Some mm-hmm. people were like, "Oh, I can't believe we were expecting Persona 6." I was like, "I wasn't," and I never said that on my video either. I was just expecting something because. They put a countdown on their website for something. Oh. You know? So that was my...
Typical Atlas.
Being yeah, Atlas. Right. I think that's like... Some people are like, oh, manage your expectations. So I'm like, well, there's a difference between, oh, hey, guys, we're going to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the series. Expect something, you know? This is like something, right? But, hey, we're going to announce 7 projects starting on September. And you're like, oh my god, what is all this? There's like a different like wording and everything. Which is fine, I guess, if you're a Japanese fan. Because I don't think they had it that bad. They had it, in fact, they had a lot, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they get free anime, they get ice cream, they get the concert.
Ice cream, god. Yeah.
Damn. Did you see that? Did you see that?
I did. I did.
Yeah, just to date it. Today, Persona 5. I'm sorry, not Persona 5. Yeah, Persona website. Or they published something here about this ice cream that they're working with in Japan, of course. This is like rolled ice cream. They even made special art for it, too. With like the characters wearing like the uniforms with the aprons and the spatulas or whatever. It's so funny. But also like... It's so tone deaf too. Like,
it really is. All that effort that went into the art too. It's like, God.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because they have special, like they have Tatsuya, for example, eating ice cream, and Maya is like taking selfies with the
right
ice cream or whatever. So like, it's not like it's just like some like, oh, let me just whip out like some quick art. No, I'm like, we're talking about. All the main protagonists have like special pictures with the for the art and everything. So it's crazy, man. It's like
it really is.
Ice cream factory, custom ice cream, New York style. Which I don't think this is in America at all. It's just a Japanese thing. So I don't know. Very unfortunate. A little bit sad, to be honest.
Kinda. At least it's not part of the announcement. Could you imagine if they waited for like in December? They're like, "Hey, here we go."
All right, guys. This is the 25th anniversary part 2. We have ice cream.
Oh my god! That would have been crazy after that September reveal.
But now I'm like, look, whatever happens in December is fine. At least one of these 7 projects is gonna be a game, right?
I hope so, but at the same time, it's December. It's like, if it's a game, it's gonna be the announcement for a game.
Yeah,
it's not gonna be a shadow drop like we thought it may be the case for September.
Right.
It's not gonna be a shadow drop.
Yeah, it's definitely not, because December. December it depends on when in December too. Because already Shin Megami Tensei, it comes out like in the middle of November, right? So like, there's only so much leeway you're gonna have before you like, what are they gonna drop? They don't want to kill their own sales for SMT5, like 3 weeks later, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. From that perspective, I don't expect it to be a big announcement. Definitely not a shadow drop game or something like that, which I do see people saying that already in the comments.
God.
Yeah. In fact, the funniest thing was whenever I did that video, people were like, "Oh, wait, don't worry about it. You know, we're going to get something at TGS." And I'm like,
"Dude, what? No.
Did you not hear when they said that the next announcement was in December?" Like, is that not what you heard? Because that's literally what they said.
It's dumbasses with actual expectations.
I love how that thumbnail just went viral, basically.
Oh, God. Hey, dude, on that anniversary night, after my I streamed the reveal, and after the stream, I went on Twitter, and my freaking face was everywhere. I was like, "Oh my god!" Even on like Atlas Japan, there was some people that I was not even following that were not even following me on Twitter, and they were posting that picture.
I was they like, were what really the fuck is going on? Like probably some people that didn't even know you. It's just like
yeah, that's the thing. They just reposted the same thing.
Oh man, that's hilarious. But hey, man, that's. I mean, you already do it. Might as well. It is what it is.
Right.
Oh, man. I mean, it is what it is, man. At the end of the day, I don't think they're completely... I mean, it's the beginning of the celebration, if you will. But also, I wonder, like, internally, what really happened. Because there was a report recently that SMT5 was supposed to release in 2020.
Right.
So I'm curious to see like whether this fucked with the 25th anniversary for Persona. Like were they trying to do things for the 2021 and they had to like move everything, cuz like if you think about it, if the game was supposed to be released in 2020 and 2021 is all the way until November, so like something must have happened as far as like developments and everything. I don't mean studios or anything, but like internally, like, because they only have so many people working. Sure, they have different studios within Atlas working on different projects, but I'm sure some of these people work on multiple projects at the same time. I don't think they're just working on Shin Megami Tensei 5 for 5 years with not touching anything else. So
I would think the smaller, well, I don't want to say smaller because they're super important, but like the employees and on the development team working on the smaller stuff for the SMT5, I would assume that they have like some, they probably help with like the bigger current projects like Strikers, for example.
Right.
I would assume that for a certain month, hey, you're off Demon Designs and you're hopping into Persona Designs for Strikers for like a month or something. I would think that that's the case. Obviously, like the directors, the big guys, probably not. But the smaller devs, I would think maybe that happened.
Yeah, they gotta have something because, I mean, last I checked, they still have like 200 people on their studio or like 300, right. Something like that. So, like, that's not a lot of people if you look at like really big projects. I mean, like
it's decent for the publisher that they are, but it's not big in the industry in general.
Right, for sure. Especially because not all 300 people are working on one project. They're working on multiple things. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, although I've been surprised of how fast they can turn out Persona stuff. Because, like, we had yearly Persona games for, like, 4 or 5 years in a row.
It's crazy when you think about it.
Yeah. For, like, a small studio like that, it's just crazy that they can do yearly releases for as long as they did.
Well, I mean, since I started content creation in March of 2020, we got Royal, we got P4G on Steam, we got Strikers. What else did we get?
SMT3?
That would be... Oh, no, in terms of Persona.
Yeah, so when
that's pretty much, so that's like three releases in like just over a year. And a half.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, right. When I started, I think Persona Q came, Persona Q came out, and then Catherine, then...
Full Body?
Yeah, Catherine Full Body, yeah. And then the Persona Dancing Games...
Oh, you were there for that. That's cool. Yeah. I wish I was because I would have roasted them so hard.
Oh, dude, I was. You can see that my face is appointment. So at the time, I wasn't super into the keeping track of like development or anything like that. I actually didn't see any trailers. So all I did was I played the demo, which was just two songs or three songs, something like that. So I played it. I was like, oh, dude, this is great. I'm going to be really happy when I see the characters again. I was thinking they had to have some kind of story or something. But there was no talk about it. There was like barely any marketing. So I was like, oh, okay, whatever, it's fine. So I go. It's like I'm literally cosplaying, full cosplay and everything. And you can see my face of disappointment. Because I'm streaming this and I'm playing like I play like the first like 2-3 hours and I was like,
you gotta send me that. I wanna see that.
That's cool. See just my face, but I'm just kinda sad because like there's no story obviously. And like I was just looking forward to seeing like the Persona 3 characters and everything like that. I was actually kinda happy about the Persona 3 stuff because I was like, it's still something. But Persona 5, I mean, like,
that yeah, that was unnecessary.
Yeah, that was like that could have needed, like, if he had a story or something, that would have been cool. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I mean, we're being. I just want to mention we're being hard on the game, but for you guys watching, if you didn't try the games, they're fun. They're still fun. But if you were there and you were getting excited for them, there's no way you were satisfied with what you got.
If you didn't spend $100 on the collector's edition for. Because that's what I did. I bought the collector's edition. I'm using air quotes. You can't see them.
But, no, that's not a collector's edition. That's a garbage edition. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
For those who don't know, the collector's edition for this thing is basically a paperback case that has the two discs. Persona 4 is only a DLC, a download digital game code. And then there is little pages attached to the booklet, so you can look the artwork, which is not even artwork. It's just like the name of the characters with a picture of like their poses
or whatever. Right.
So there's not really an artwork book or anything like that.
It's kind of like the 13 Sentinels art book that we got in the West. Similar. Okay. It's similar. It's really ass. But at least we got a case for that game. It's not just paper.
No, actually, like, I got the, for some reason, my copy of 13 Sentinels didn't have the book
or
anything. It was just like the case by itself.
And you got it at launch?
I had two copies of
that's
it.
Strange.
I bought it again because I thought I was gonna get it with the case and everything, and because I wanted the art book and all that kind of stuff. For, you know, like, I really like the game. So I bought it again, and it came the exact same way as the other one. I was like, oh, man. Well, now I have two copies of 13 Sentinels, which is fine. I'm not going to cry about it. I gave it to my friend so he can play it. Because I was like, you have to play this game. He likes this mystery, time-traveling kind of games. So I'm like, dude, this is like right off your alley. You need to play this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he play it?
I don't know if he did or not. I need to ask him about it.
Yeah, ask him. Make sure he plays it.
I'm like, I'm gonna nag him until he gets annoyed about it. No, it's all right. It's all right. But he needs to play the game. I'm gonna be like, yo, either you play it or I'm gonna go there and assault you until you play it. yeah, dude. No, it's gonna be a fun time the next few months. I think I'm very excited for the launch of Resident Evil 5, and I'm ready to make more content about the games and everything. Because once that happens, it's just gonna be a fun time from then until whenever, right? Because that's the next game like that. We don't have any other games announced from Atlus.
No, exactly, man. And I'm fine with that, to be honest. That may be selfish, but I'm so excited for SMT5 that I'm here for it. I don't need anything.
Yeah, else. I'm not really particularly like waiting for anything else at this time. I think a lot of people are. You know, they're always like, oh man, like we need this, we need that. I'm like, I'm just so ready for SMT5 because we've been waiting for it for so long too. I think some people that are just getting out into Persona. Or like, or into SMT5 because of Persona or something like that. They don't know the wait or anything. I feel like if you tell people, oh, it's been 5 years or it's been 6 years or whatever, people are like, oh, okay, you know, it's whatever, right? But like, you think about how long that is. But like, people that are actually been waiting there. Like the same thing with like with Persona, right? Whenever Persona 6, who knows how long it takes for Persona 6 or whatever. And I remember seeing a comment one time who was like, oh man, I can't wait to play Persona 6 in 2022. I'm like, dude, it's definitely not going to be 2022.
If you're lucky, you're going to get a reveal in 2022.
Yeah.
And by reveal, I mean a PNG file.
It's like an announcement for an announcement. It's going to be the logo.
It's going to be the six chairs.
Yeah. Six chairs.
We all remember the five chairs.
Oh, don't dude, we? That was the funniest thing to me. People had like these crazy theories about the chairs and what they meant. Even when they announced and they showed Joker, I remember how they were calling him Chair-kun or whatever. Some people still call him that, and they probably don't even know why.
Sherkun? I don't remember that. That's pretty funny. Yeah. Well, I was watching and I was waiting for the game, but I was not actively in the community for it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I was in a Facebook group, and I remember people were calling him Sherkun or Cherry Potter. Like Harry, but with a chair.
Oh, God.
That was another one because, he has the glasses.
The glasses and stuff. Oh, my God.
So, like, that's like OG right there. People are just like, I can't wait to play with Harry Potter. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? No, it's a good time. It's a good time. I think it's a great time to, like, get into the games and everything because, there's never been such a big reception for it. And I think it's gonna sell really good. Like, I don't know. I have the stinking feeling that game's just gonna break some kind of record for Atlas. Maybe that's just me being very optimistic about it.
No, I think so. I think you're onto something. The fan base grew so much in the last few years, and I think SMT5's sales are gonna be an indicator of that.
Yeah. I think it's gonna be good. So I'm excited for it. I think it's gonna be a fantastic game, and I can't wait to do like content about it and everything. Like you said earlier, like I'm hoping that I get a review code for it. I'm like fingers crossed.
Oh my God, that'd be so like cool.
The dream come true. Because I think some of you guys know, but we did get a review code for Nocturne, and that was also like really cool. Like to have to be the first ones to play the game and talk about it and everything. So. But this is truly like the game that is gonna come out that nobody played before, because Nocturne is a game that is a remaster, so there is like a different connotation and thing to playing a brand new game versus a remaster of a game. So honestly, I'll be down for that. Even if I don't get a Persona 6 review code or something like that, as long as I get like the SMT5, I'm like, this is it. Like, I already made it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. And if not, it's fine. I'm not gonna cry about it. But it will be really cool to be able to get a chance or opportunity to do it.
Absolutely, man.
Anyway, I think we're good for as far as the podcast. I want to thank you so much for coming by and chatting with me, getting back into the podcasting action here. I know it's been a minute since I had you here, so hoping we can.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Another podcast in the next few weeks. I know
absolutely
we're playing a game that we can't talk about yet, but when we do, I'm ready to talk
about. We'll have a lot to say about that one. We'll talk again for sure once that it becomes a thing. So thanks for having me on again, man. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah, and everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. I think we did have two questions, so I just want to go through those real quick. And then we'll wrap it up here. Let me scroll down here. So see if I can find him here. God damn it. I've lost it here. Okay. So question from Devil May Pie. Shout out to him. Check out his channel if you haven't. He's a great content creator. So says, how well do you think SMT5 will perform on sales-wise? Will it benefit more from being a Nintendo Switch title?
Great question, and you're asking the right person because I made this big old video. It's like a 15-minute video just talking about every possible external factor that would make me a great person to put a number on SMT5 sales.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting at, once it's all said and done, I think we're going to be close to like end of 2 million, 3 million.
Yeah.
Once it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely going to be the best-selling game in this series.
I think so too.
The Switch thing, I think so, 100%. The attach rate for the Switch is extremely high. There's more PS4s out there than Switches, but the software attach rate for Switch is higher, believe it or not, than the PS4. There's not a lot of competition. Yeah. It's a big exclusive. It's one of the best looking games on Switch. I can't believe I'm saying that with a mainline SMT game. That's crazy. But it's one of the best looking game on the system. It's a super weak system, and the game looks freaking great. It's a game that you can put next to a PS4 RPG, and it would look great. So obviously not the FF7 remakes out there, but the like mid budget size RPG, you can put it next to it and it would look great for sure.
Yeah, 100%. I think it'll be cool to see what they do sales wise and everything. I feel confident that it's gonna sell great. I think he mentioned whether you think it will sell 1 million of the end of the year. I don't know if 1 million...
I think so.
Within a month, because the end of the year will only be November and December.
So we're going to hear that it did like 1.5 million in February.
Yeah.
So 3 mil is a stretch. I think 3 mil is a stretch, but like 2.5 mil is better.
It'll be cool if they did that. You know, like if they release it for like a year and then they do like a PC release or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That gets another bump. That's what I'm here for. I think there was a leak recently that I think I talked about
right.
A possible
PC the NVIDIA release. Thing.
Yeah. So I'm like, look, even if it doesn't happen, I feel like the game could do good if it was on PC or something. But that's just my personal opinion, but I think Switch is a great console to release it on. There's a lot of people that like JRPGs that have a Switch, so there's definitely a demand for the game and the system.
Absolutely.
So the next question is from Demicro. Shout out to him. That's a cool dude.
Yes, sir. Shout out to Demicro.
Said, David, your opinion on Kingdom Hearts Cloud for Switch.
I like the question. That's a good question. Well, I mentioned it on my Twitter when that was revealed. Kingdom Hearts, the whole collection, it makes total sense on the system. And it was literally walk-in potential to put those games on Switch.
Yeah.
But they managed to fail with the cloud version. Like, I've seen so many people out there saying, like, let's be honest, between you and I, everyone who's just a tiny bit interested in Kingdom Hearts, they own the games. You can get the whole series for like $4 on PS4 or something. The games are so cheap. Yeah. But there were still so many people that were like, I'm going to buy this collection for $50 on Switch just to play it portably. And now that they announced it as a cloud version, the only reason why people wanted it on Switch was to play it portably. And you made it non-portable. So that's like, what the hell are you doing? Like, I know people were talking performance because when I mentioned the ports, I was like, LOL, cloud version of PS2 games. That's what I said. And obviously, Kingdom Hearts 3, I don't think that's a game that would meet Square Enix's standard if it was natively ported to Switch. I think it would look too bad. It would run a little bit too stiff. You would have to, like, do so much to make it run that it wouldn't look too great. So a cloud version for 3 makes sense. But the others, even the PS3 remasters, that's just laziness. And I think it's for Square Enix, it's an even bigger issue than for the consumers out there, because most Kingdom Hearts fans, like I know you know VC as well, fellow content creator, he's a big fan for Kingdom Hearts. And when he saw that those were coming to Switch, he was like, hey, let's go. And when he saw cloud version, he was like, oh, well, I guess I'm good because I can play the games elsewhere. I was willing to double dip if it was natively ported. Yeah. Cloud versions. Crazy.
Although I stopped being into the games a while ago, I still own the PS3 versions, the PlayStation 2 versions, the PlayStation 4 versions. So, like, if they released on Switch, I'll probably double dip and just have them there for like the collection purpose of it.
Right.
But have them be cloud. I was like, man, are you serious? And look, it's fine. Like maybe you can say, well, you know, Kingdom Hearts 3 is just too technologically advanced or something like that. I'm like, Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. I mean, come on, man. They're PlayStation 2 games.
Exactly. Like, I was about to say, come on, Nocturne can run. Well, it kind of can run.
Yeah, and then another one of them is a PSP game, and another one is a 3DS game. So, like, those are, like, 100% no excuse whatsoever, right? So, I don't know, man. I'm just... That left me a little bit of a disappointed. I think it could have been better.
Definitely.
They could have done a better job. But it is what it is. You know, they want to kill their own hype for it, then, you know... Yeah, it is. It is what it is. But thank you so much for coming, man. I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun talking to you again.
Absolutely.
And hopefully we can do this again very soon. I have a lot of plans for podcasts and everything. So be happy to have you again.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on, man.
All right. And thank you, everybody, for asking your questions and just commenting, liking the video and everything. Don't forget to check out David's channel if you haven't already. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Bye-bye.